If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula. 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs. 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here on Herb Talk, we're here to empower you. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. I'm Magical Engineer Frank, and I have a great show. We're going to be talking about some of these, the childhood vaccines that aren't working. Have you heard about the whooping cough now? And we had, you know, the measles problem in 2019. Now we got a whooping cough problem. So we're going to talk about the childhood vaccines that aren't working. Vaccinated kids are getting sick with whooping cough. We'll try to touch on that genetically modified antibiotics we didn't fit in Tuesday. And we do have a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees. I'm seeking the Lord's face. I'm minding the time. Hope you are too. So today's devotional puts us in Proverbs 27, where it says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of men are never satisfied. And let's see, Colossians 3 says, set your affection on the things above, not on the things on the earth. Amen. Yeah. Lust of the eyes, pride of life. No, no, no. We got to look up. We got to seek the Lord's face. Mind the time, it grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, first up in the quacker. Hey, I have to give it to the moms and dads of New York. They got together and they fought hard. The Senate Bill 2173 in their state that wanted to remove religious vaccine exemptions, and they won. That's right. They were dedicated. They fought hard, tirelessly, so they retained their health freedom there. But, of course, the lawmakers that were behind the push to end the religious exemption for vaccination in the state of New York, they're still going to possibly reintroduce the bill in the next legislative session. You know, they never quit. They just never quit. So, you know, be on your guard up there in New York. And praise the Lord for that victory. He gets all the credit. Last but not least in the quack report, here's a dirty little secret about our drinking water. According to, well, the government's just not doing its job as usual. You remember Aaron Brockovich with the uranium pollution of the water? Anyway, 200 million Americans affected by that, right? And then we had the lead poisoning scandal in Flint, Michigan. And then we had the neurotoxic threat in the drinking water from coast to coast, you know, the lead in there. National crisis erupted over tap contaminated water with was overfluorinated. They called them forever chemicals. So in almost 20 years, the EPA hasn't added any new contaminants to the toxic chemicals that could be unsafe in the water supply. So the safety of the American water system, is it broken? Might be. So 160 unregulated contaminants in the U.S. tap water, that's what they're finding. Stuff the EPA hasn't even put on the list. So the EPA's maximum contaminant levels haven't been updated in over 50 years. What? What? We always assume they're doing their job, and they're not. They're not. So be aware of that. Protect your water supply. Filter, filter, filter. Absolutely necessary these days. Protect your kidneys, too. Drinking that tap water unfiltered can be really harsh on the kidneys. So mind that. And that wraps the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, we're going to be talking about some of the stuff recently. I know vaccines always cropping up in the news and, you know, kind of pick and choose what we're going to cover it because people get tired of hearing about vaccines. But some of this stuff, you know, you really need to know. According to the worldwide reports, the childhood vaccines for whooping cough and measles are not producing the protection that the medical establishment has said they would. Now, in 2019, we covered this recently, the UN and the WHO, they have their Global Vaccine Safety Summit, and they revealed that those that are pushing the vaccines are concerned because science has not the backup science reports to back up their claims for the vaccine's safety record and actually to do any kind of protection from diseases, actually. And they're worried about their frontline physicians. You heard that, too, if you listened to that clip that Frank played. And he got it. He got that clip. And applause, applause to Frank for getting that. And so, you know, now we got physicians that are, like, you know, a little wobbly on, is vaccine safe? Are they safe? They're hearing stuff, too. They're seeing stuff, too. So they're not really stepping up to the plate to defend the vaccines, especially when parents, people, patients have questions. So this is really concerning the United Nations and the WHO people that, you know, are pro-vaccination. So they're asking for more scientific research to support what they've been claiming about the vaccines, which tells you it's never been there in the first place. So in Australia now, there is a panic over the whooping cough, or the pertussis vaccine, is producing the disease in the vaccinated kids. They're getting whooping cough. Instead of protecting them, they're coming down with the disease and they're spreading the disease. However, the medical authorities are not willing to admit the vaccines aren't working like they should. They're claiming, get this, that the pathogen has mutated. It's the pathogen's fault. So we're going to check this out. Here's a quote from Dr. Lawrence Liu, University of New South Wales, Australia. They're asking for new whooping cough vaccines now. Okay. Here's what he has said. We found the whooping cough strains were evolving to improve their survival, regardless of whether a person was vaccinated or not. The strains seem to be producing more nutrient binding and transport proteins and fewer immunologic proteins, which are not targeted by the vaccine. We think this allows the whooping cough bacteria to efficiently scavenge nutrients from the host and causing infection while evading the body's immune system because the disease is making fewer proteins the immune system recognizes, end of quote. Well, that's his take. We're going to show you some other stuff in a minute. It's just amazing if you get kind of a little convoluted with all the different reports, but we're going to try to clear the air for you. So they're saying the disease has changed somehow, and so the vaccine's not working. Changes that are not by nature, I might add. There is speculation in the medical circles that the pathogen is different or reacts differently and is not by nature. This is not a natural whooping cough pathogen, by the way, just like the measles wasn't natural. They altered that one, too. So here are some of the possibilities for this whooping cough outbreak in Australia. The pathogen has been genetically altered in the lab. The pathogen is cross-reacting with other pathogens within the vaccine, and the pathogen is more virulent due to the adjuvants in the vaccines. So Australian health authorities are saying that whooping cough is a problem regardless of being vaccinated. And this suggests the vaccine offers no antibody protection, and they are asking for a new whooping cough vaccine. So the Australian physicians are saying they are encountering a new, get this, super bug strain of whooping cough. That's what they're calling it. Weren't we told that superbugs are the creation of an antibiotic resistance? Whooping cough vaccines are not antibiotics. So how do we end up with a superbug whooping cough strain then? Good question. Well, let's look at the current vaccine for a sec. This may give you a clue. The current whooping cough or pertussis vaccine has been on the market since 2000. And it is part of the DPAT vaccine, so it's part of the diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis. So the old DPT vaccine was retired, and it was replaced with the DPAT vaccine. And it is designed to target three antigens of bacteria within pertussis. Now, currently, infants at 2 months of age get their first dose, and then again at 4, 6, 15, and 18 months of age, and then they get boosters at 4 and 6 years of age. So what's the difference between the old DPT and the new 2000 version of the DPT, DPAT? Well, that's a good question. You may be asking, what is the difference between these two vaccines, the DPT? That difference is the new pertussis is called an acellular component. That's why the little A has been inserted in it, DPAT, for an acellular component of the pertussis pathogen, which is supposedly, we're being told, an inactive or not live pathogen that offers less side effects. So that's what the public's told. That's what doctors are told. That's what doctors are told to tell the patients. Aha. However, these components are not often found in DNA. However, these components are often found in DNA and RNA vaccines because these components of the pathogen are nucleic acids surrounded by a protein membrane. So they've been altered. See? So if you recall, I previously reported that in the 1977 journal called the International Review of Psychology, Volume 51. It stated that the foreign DNA in treatments like this transforms the cells and can cause cell malignancy. When foreign DNA enters the human body, or into animals, I should add, too, because they vaccinate animals, it transcribes into the cells to create a different organism. So this is where they've created a new whooping cough organism. Scientific medicine is creating new pathogens, new disease, new plagues that they know very little about. So this process can cause a release of bacterial DNA, which promotes even cancer-causing malignant DNA. So this is not just, you know, the human sector, but also in the veterinarian medicine sector. This is why your pets are coming down with cancer. So in 1975, science discovered that the virus causing cancer in animals had a special enzyme called reverse tryptase, transcriptase, I should say, if I could get it out of my mouth. So they discovered this in 75. The virus causing cancer in animals has an enzyme, special enzyme, called reverse transcriptase. And these are viruses known as, get this, RNA viruses, which have been created to form DNA strands to integrate them into the host DNA so they can infect it. So modern medicine knows they are killing billions of people and animals with vaccination treatments. Vaccines can give you cancer before cigarettes will. This new generation of DNA RNA that they're creating. So childhood cancer cases have gone way up with the new generation of these types of vaccines. Yep, since the 70s, it's a upward slope on your chart. That's what it is. So really what you have is a whooping cough outbreak that's being caused by the vaccine. So the research of Dr. Robert Simpson at Rutgers University reported on the DNA in the vaccines. He wrote that the RNA viruses, which do not cause the cancer, but will form DNA without needing the reverse transcriptase. So when this happens, modern medicine calls this a provirus. So these provirus cells can sit dormant or latent for long periods of time without producing any symptoms of disease. And Dr. Simpson gave some examples of a common RNA virus that don't directly cause cancer, but can form the proviruses that they are. Influenza proviruses, measles, mumps, and polio. Also, a German scientist, I've mentioned this before, Zinchenko, in 1967 reported that the multiple sclerosis disease was provoked by the following vaccines: smallpox, typhoid, tetanus, polio, tuberculosis, diphtheria, and rabies. So this research was published in the October 22, 1967 British Medical Journal. So when the humans are inoculated with, not against, but with, let's say, influenza, measles, mumps, polio, what's really happening is that modern medicine is seeding the body with RNA-forming proviruses, which after a long period of time can reawaken and deliver another generation of chronically ill patients. That's how medicine keeps the line of patients a-coming. So what artificial infections do, what they lead to, is there are many diseases in which vaccinations cause a lot of detrimental, yet maybe not lethal, disease. There are diseases that vaccines cause which reduce function, quality of life, can shorten longevity. So science has known for some time that the vaccines can cause what medicine is labeling as mesenchymal or collagen diseases. And this is also called rheumatoid arthritis or lupus or multiple sclerosis. That's what that is. They created these things. So when these diseases occur, it's due to human tissue being impregnated with foreign genetic material from the vaccines. So in the cases of lupus, the foreign genetic material starts to change the cells of the body, and then the immune system sees them as foreign and then attacks them. So there's nothing wrong with your immune system, but lupus patients are told by their doctors that the immune system is malfunctioning. The immune system's working correctly. It's attacking what God didn't put there. See? So medicine will pump lupus patients full of immune-suppressing drugs, and they usually die from pneumonia or the flu because they have no immunity anymore. It's a slow death, but it's lethal still. So they created that. Yeah. What's that in the New Testament where, you know, Moses is cautioning Israel, you know, be good, follow God's commandments, be blessed. Here's the blessings. If you're evil and wicked, here's the curses you'll get. And he tells them, you're afraid of the plagues of Egypt. But if you are going to be wicked, you're going to get that plus the plagues not written of in this book. And that's exactly what we've been seeing. Science creating new plagues that weren't even mentioned in the Bible. Well, let's talk about leukemia for a second. How many cases of leukemia have we have now? We have hundreds of thousands of people suffering from leukemia. So in April 1972, the Journal of Science published findings that the U.S. polio cases were 100% caused by the polio vaccine. And by 1977, it was suspected the polio virus made on monkey tissue culture was causing the uptick in the leukemia cases. So making vaccines on animal tissue cultures has been a problem medical science has known about for decades. So here's the reality. Here's the reality check. And we're going to come around back to the Australian scientists in a minute. So what the medical science has created is a new pertussis whooping cough pathogen that can evade the immune system when it's used in an artificial infectious mode like an inoculation, and creating what they are calling now a superbug. Here's a quote from Dr. Lawrence Liu, University of New South Wales, Australia. He says this, put simply, the bacteria that cause whooping cough are becoming better at hiding and better at feeding. They are morphing into superbugs. Right, that's what he thinks. He doesn't have the full picture. So remember Dr. Robert Simpson at Rutgers University said that these newly created man-made diseases seed the body and can lay dormant. And Dr. Liu confirms his findings while he admits they just don't know enough about infectious disease or the immune system. Here's what he says, quote, Dr. Liu, so the bacteria might still colonize inside you and survive without causing the disease. And you probably wouldn't know you've been infected with the whooping cough bacteria because you don't get any symptoms. We need more research to better understand the biology of the whooping cough bacteria. End of quote. Dr. Liu, you need to go back to school. If I can find this data, you can too. So artificial infections, that's what vaccines are. They are more dangerous than the original disease. So scientists, they have already acknowledged that the science behind vaccines is flawed and even outright fraud. So the human immune system does not manufacture an antibody unless there is a fever. Okay, that's scientifically proven. So artificial infections rarely produce fevers. So where is the antibody protection then? Answer that. So there isn't any, because that's not the true purpose of the vaccinations, people. See? So we need to strengthen the immune system naturally. Instead of undermining the immune system, strengthen it with your whole foods and your medicinal herbs. So the body responds to nutrients. So herbs contain concentrated nutrients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, proteins that the body uses to manufacture your antibodies. So these nutrients help the immune system work more efficiently, shorten your duration of illness. So, for instance, a strong, supported immune system can defeat influenza in 2 to 3 days. And if you're going for many of the other over-the-counter types of drugs and aspirin for flu, you're not supporting the immune system when you do that. You're working against it when you do that. So you can trust in your God-given immune system. Just don't defeat it. Don't undermine it. And medicine is undermining your immune system. I'm sorry. That's how it is. I mean, from all the research I've read over the last 20 years, and there's enough of it out there. There's a mountain of it that points to really diabolical purposes behind vaccines. So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have immune boosting and also pandemic fighting formulas. Okay. I mean, there's even herbs that get rid of Ebola, hemorrhagic fevers, but you don't hear about it because it doesn't make the drug companies any money, see. And they're going to poo-poo, and they're going to try to force a vaccine on you, which probably would give you Ebola. But call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. Learn the basics. I'll go a long way at strengthening the immune system. Just the basics do. And you'll be able to trust in the Creator and His creation, because He says herbs are here for the service of man, the healing of the nations, and God can't lie. So He wants you to tap into the medicinal power, the pure, perfect chemistry that He's put in His medicinal herbs, to help your immune system and lighten the burden. That's it. Cleanse and nourish. Improve the immune system. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. And it puts the power back in your hands, see. So you'll be amazed what you can do. People are just so brainwashed into thinking modern medicine knows everything. I think they're good for trauma care, anatomy. But what do they have for internal medicine disorders? Just drugs to reduce your symptoms and surgery. That's their tools. That's it. And these viruses, these tiny little bugs, you know, they can't even help you with the common cold, see? So, but your immune system can. Well, you may feel not so great for a day or two, but your immune system brings you out of it. So if you have a strong immune system, you may not even know you were sick. So thepowerherbs.com is the web address. Give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's Apothecary Herbs. 866-229-3663. Thepowerherbs.com. Sorry, healthcare options just became endless. Yep, explore the possibilities, and you'll be like, wow, I didn't know I could do that. Well, because it's the world's best-kept secret. See, you can't patent what God made, and so pharmaceuticals can't make any money if they can't patent it. So, but you can reap the rewards and give God all the blessings and thanks every day, all the time, because He made the herbs. Oh, I can see. Oh, yeah, I know. Frank says, if you go into the hospital, instead of dying from the disease, you could get sepsis or some other disease at the hospital. That's a good point. Well, we're going to take a little break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about genetically modified antibiotics. So stay where you are. We'll be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, Have peace and request your pandemic kit today, or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Herb Talk Live has your HMO, herb medicine options, coming up next.
Herbalist Wendy Wilson. We're going to be talking about the genetically modified antibiotics. You know, we've talked about how they turn over rocks. They look for bacteria in soil to find a new strain, which they can make a new antibiotic from. But the likelihood of them finding a viable bacteria candidate to make a drug, kind of hard to find. So scientists have been having difficulty getting viable candidates so they can make more antibiotics for the drug-resistant strains of bacteria. So, they've actually rolled out the CRISPR, to help modify strains to see if that would work, edit the bacteria, if you will. Now, according to the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health, the original premise of making antibiotics in 1941 was to use the small bacterium molecule from soil to antagonize the microbe growth of the infectious bacteria. That was the whole, premise or theory. Because this is kind of a simplified description of how penicillin actually works. So streptomycin, penicillin, tetracycline, and other types of antibiotics are produced by soil bacteria or fungus. So these drugs and the early successors of them are now essentially kind of useless And the replacements are what they're looking for, because the antibiotics now, you know, are very simple. The ones they made in the beginning where the bacteria is kind of mutated, those are pretty simple, straightforward types of drugs, chemically speaking. All right, so the antibiotics mankind has been using for about 80 years. They harvested from soil, and they got the molecules of different combinations in the soil, enzymes, protein, fatty acids, polysaccharides. So science is trying to evolve in the making of their antibiotics into the synthetic ingredients. Of course, they've morphed into that. It's a process called biosynthetic molecules. And those tend to mimic DNA in the bacteria. Although the early creation of antibiotics were kind of simple compared to the complexity that they're trying to make of antibiotics today, you know, the DNA editing of the bacteria and the new era of antibiotic research, basically. So here is a quote from the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health in 2009. They say some antibiotic gene clusters are estimated that from one soil family of bacteria would produce about 10,000 ingredient molecules used to make an antibiotic. From the sample, there could be screened out 2,500 of those molecules that would make antibiotics such as streptomycin or tetracycline. So basically, one in a million would make erythromycin and adaptomycin, some of the strong ones. So it's kind of a, you know, crapshoot for them to find something that they can utilize. And it's kind of a wonder why science decided to make synthetic copycats, you know, to try to keep track of the biodiversity of soil bacteria, because this kind of opened up opportunities to produce what is called cryptic antibiotics, edit the DNA, edit the molecules, create something new. Here's a quote from the U.S. National Library. They say the antibiotics are actually signaling molecules that happen to kill bacteria when applied at an unnaturally high concentration. So when the bacteria becomes resistant to it, silences the messages, and the antibiotic offers then no protection. So in short, we know little about the ecological role of the molecules we call antibiotics. Well, that doesn't kind of invoke in much confidence. You know, if they don't know what they're doing, they have little knowledge. They make something, people take it, and let's just see what happens. That's what I'm wondering. So science has been looking for antibiotic molecules in other areas that are less explored, like bacteria within marine biology. How many products have you seen on TV, Frank? Have you seen the one for memory from a jellyfish, that kind of thing? It's a memory supplement. You wonder if they're going to glow in the dark if they take it. So they've been exploring marine biology, more funguses, insects even. And also science has identified about 230 fungal species from just ants. Okay? So this is a whole kind of, you know, cornucopia of drug possibilities here. New area of study, it's called ant-associated bacteria. Ooh, doesn't that sound yummy? We're told the fungus strains from ants carry ancient strains. Okay. All right, so here's the iChip now enters the picture, because researchers at Northeastern University in Boston created a method of growing what they call captive bacteria that's in soil in the lab, so they could influence the outcome of the bacteria based on the nutrients, the chemicals it was using, and what they put into the soil. So the containers of soil were then placed in what is called an iChip. So this process seems to have allowed the research team to discover 25 new bacteria for possible antibiotic use. So whether they will be suitable for drug use is a big question, more testing, obviously. However, one that they did discover was called a thioxetine, and they said it has promise. Scientists in London have created also a synthetic version of that. And this new bacterial strain, they hope, will be able to be used against MRSA infections and tuberculosis and some of these others. So the tiboxetin only affects gram-positive bacterias, and they're looking for those molecules that also affect gram-negative bacterias. Here's Heidi Ledford. She's a researcher. She said this in 2018. She says, typically, only about 1% of the microbes in soil samples are able to be grown in the lab, and the iChip expands that fraction to 50%. End of quote. So with all this digging, with all this sifting, with all this editing, you can see why some antibiotics aren't going to be cheap. Making drugs from dirt, long process, can offer some unexpected results. So some of the researchers now at the School of Life Science and the Department of Chemistry, University of Warwick in the UK, they are fragmenting soil bacteria using just a fragment of the molecule. And the work has gotten published in the October 2018 Journal of Chemical Sciences. So when they edit bacteria in this way, they encrypt the molecule, and they call it silent cluster of genes in soil bacterium. So the gene editing of this bacterial molecule is a kind of a new science, and they're looking to produce new forms and new strains. So the scientists hope to gain total control over the diseases that they can target and thereby create a whole new generation of novel types of drugs. Oh, that's a dream. Oh, yeah. That's their dream. So you may see such drugs described as biosynthetic enzymes. And these are already kind of being classified as, quote, high-value chemicals, according to some journal reports from Chemical Science Journal 2018. They say this. This means that there is no need to optimize a protocol for engineering of a bacterial species of interest. And this approach can be extended to exploit gene clusters identified in bacteria from environmental samples. This could offer a wide variety of antimicrobial compounds, which could resolve the antibiotic resistant crisis. End of quote. Well, they wish, let me tell you. So far, testing of these compounds has offered moderate antibacterial activity on infections like TB and inhibits the bacterial growth by only about 32%. So Dr. Christopher Corr, Warwick Integrative Synthetic Biology Center in the UK, says this, using synthetic biology, our study has evidence that breaking locks at the transcriptional level does trigger a production of novel bioactive substances. Well, talk about a Pandora's box, Doc, you know? And I like this report. This was, I like this. They're looking at worms. Earthworms. I love earthworms. They make my garden so pretty. Well, in April 2018, the researchers at the University of Illinois Chicago found a new bacteria for antibiotic use from earthworms. They have cultivated 80 strains of bacteria from the earthworm, and are genetically modifying them to become more potent derivatives. So the research did get published in the Journal of Molecule Cell. And with this type of antibiotic development, it's like testing a new theory in the targeting of infectious bacteria. So researchers are saying they just don't know what to expect, as it has never been done before. So in a nutshell, they're genetically modifying the bacteria molecules so they will bind to the infectious bacteria and disrupt its ability to interpret or translate its genetic code and carry on its business. So they realize that this could also have the infectious bacteria that they are targeting. It could create new proteins that they were uncertain of doing. And see, we just talked about the new proteins of the whooping cough, didn't we? See, sounds like they had an unintended effect on, you know, editing the whooping cough pathogen. So antibiotics can either slow bacterial growth or kill bacteria. So the scientists are hoping that the genetically modified coating will corrupt the cell of bacteria and all its bad proteins and then cause it to die. It is kind of a big experiment to try to fix the 1940s experiment when antibiotics were created in the first place. So the 1940s scientists created this problem we have today with the superbugs. So what do you think the scientists of today trying to correct the 1940 mistake may actually invent a bigger mistake? What are the chances? Oh, Frank says there's a chat room question. What can people do to help their immune systems defeat viruses? Well, there's a lot you can do. Viruses are very small compared to bacterial infections. You know, bacterial infections are larger molecules. Viruses are small. And you can probably tell, if you really pay attention, if you got a virus or a bacterial infection. Okay. Viruses, they tend to come on fairly quickly, within a few hours. They kind of, you know, blow up in your face, if you will. Like the influenza. You may start out with a little fatigue and a headache, and within 2 hours, bam, you got a high fever and you're in the bed. See? But what you want to do is work with the immune system, never suppress or work against it. One of the big mistakes people do is they take Tylenol, aspirin, something to make them feel better. Because let's say you have the flu, you have a headache, you have the aches and pains, and you have the fever. And taking Tylenol or an aspirin will reduce all those symptoms. But when you reduce the fever, you cut off the immune system right there. Because without a fever, there's no antibody circulating in the blood. And without antibody circulating in the blood, there's no defense against the virus attack or even a bacterial one. So the higher the fever, that means the more antibodies your immune system has released and has made for you. So the secret is to keep the fever wet. You want to keep drinking fluids. I like to get into a warm or hot bath a couple times a day to get rid of the, it alleviates the achiness. And of course, if you do have a virus, you're definitely not going to feel hungry. You're most likely a bit nauseated. So, but keep fluids going. But keep them room temperature or warm fluids, nothing with ice in it because it shocks the stomach and you'll just throw it up. So, and I also like to use my immune support herbs. I like to combine them for synergistic effect. I definitely want an echinacea root. I'll also use an astragalus root. I'll also probably absolutely have to have garlic mixed in with my echinacea somewhere. Garlic's very broad spectrum on viruses, okay? Helps your immune system get them. And then I also like thyme tincture, because it has germicides in it, and it kills a lot of these types of pathogens in a skinny minute. It is amazing. Plus, if you have a cough and it's keeping you up at night, take a little thyme. It will suppress that cough reflex just enough so you can get some sleep, and also it works on the pathogen. Another thing I like is a product by Nature Sunshine. It's called Taifu Oil. And the folks at Apothecary Herbs have it up on their website because it's just one of those little grains of rice that you tip the scale in your favor. It's a little oil you put in the palm of your hand, rub your palms together, cup your hands over your nose and mouth, and breathe deeply. It helps shrink swollen tissue in the pulmonary, the sinus area, the nasal cavity. Gives a calming effect and disinfects. It's just brilliant. Okay, and it's just essential oils. The fumes from the essential oils, very cleansing. So, you know, it's just another layer of use. So keep a fever wet. Get plenty of rest. Don't go to work. Got to get some rest. You can get over the virus like the flu in 2 to 3 days, typically, if you just don't shut off the fever. Okay, and watch those over-the-counter cold remedies, too. I mean, they probably have Tylenol in them. So I don't even go for any of the over-the-counter stuff. I use my herbal teas. I use my herbs. I use my Taifu oil. Sometimes you can get away with a few drops of ginger root liquid under your tongue if you're feeling nauseated. It should take the nausea away. Some people will just take a little sliver of ginger root and stick it between their cheek and gum, and it's just enough to take the nausea away. Then, you know, when it gets all kind of, you know, mushy, you can just spit it out. But there's a lot you can do out there. And when you do this, when you do it this way and you support and you work with your immune system, it has a memory. It makes antibodies and it remembers the antibody. And it has an adaptogen cell. Your immune system has many cells and one of them is an adaptogen cell. So let's say you get the flu this year and the next year you get something else, not quite the same type of virus, but the immune system says, hey, it's kind of similar to what you got last year, so we're going to take that antibody and we're going to adapt it to this new virus strain, and it will immediately release the antibody, and you may not even feel sick or you may never even get symptoms if it's able to do that right away. So definitely think about what you're doing, what you're putting in the body. If you're undermining the immune system function, or if you're strengthening and helping it. So when we talk about immune boosting, we're not talking about making some superhuman hero out of your system that's not normal. We're talking about bringing the immune system back up to normal because the vaccines and antibiotics and these other medications suppress it and weaken it. So we're trying to bring it back to its full function when we use a lot of these immune support herbs. So the folks at Apothecary Herbs have a whole section on immune boosting, so you can go there. They have the very broad spectrum formulas, like the all-in-one, the garlic juices there. They have children's echinacea, adult echinaceas. They have more targeted formulas, like for sinus infections. They have the Echinacea Deluxe. They have the pneumonia kit. One of my favorites is the Three Amigos. It's very broad. And at the first sign of not feeling good, I always take those three formulas. And within a couple hours, I'm usually feeling back to normal. So, again, the synergistic effect, bam. And you'll just be amazed. You'll just be amazed how powerful you are. And these are tools God has given you and has promised you will work. See? So Psalms 104:14 and Revelations 22:2 and also Genesis chapter 1:29-30, God is promising. He has put some potent power in those herbs. They're meat. They're so full of protein and minerals and vitamins, amino acids, that it supports the immune system function. It gives it the nutrients it needs to make the antibodies, and that's important. So while we're agree with our wonderful little topic here on the genetically modified antibiotics, here's a Molecule Cell quote, Molecule Cell Journal, April 2018. It says, according to the WHO, antibiotic-resistant bacteria is one of the biggest threats to global health today, a significant contributor to longer hospital stays, higher medical costs, and increased mortality. Drug-resistant bacteria are a common occurrence to surgical site infections and contribute to the death of 50% of patients who become infected. Yeah, sepsis and other things. So, University of Chicago found some new bacteria for antibiotic use, and we were talking about the earthworms. They're saying that, you know, researchers are saying that we just don't know what to expect from a lot of what we're finding, and it's just test and trial and error. Scientists are hoping their genetically modified coding will come through, their theory will come through for them, and they'll be able to make some drugs that will get rid of this drug-resistant bacterial infections. Now, in California, University of California, they had a team of biologists there. They had identified 8,000 new combinations of antibiotics that are effective and work better than existing antibiotics. So according to the professors there, what they do is, you know, if one antibiotic or two antibiotics don't kill the bacteria, let's add more antibiotics. So here's a quote from Pam Yeh, a professor of ecology. We're offering an alternative. Looks promising. We should not limit ourselves to just single drugs or even two drug combinations. We expect to be using several of these drug combinations and will work much better. We work with 8 antibiotics at a time, as well as 4 or 5 drug combinations in varying doses. Physicians have over 18,000 combinations that they can work to even get rid of E. coli bacteria. So according to them, massive drug combinations is the answer. It's like, you know, if the quarterback's not enough, throw the whole string of football players at the infection. And they've created this database, a computer software system, on the number of drugs and uses in a mathematical analysis to help doctors select which of these drugs. It's called the Mathematical Analysis for General Interactions of Components, or MAGIC is the name of the program. MAGIC. It's MAGIC. They think that it can take this MAGIC program and apply it to diseases like cancer. Uh-huh. Well, be careful out there, because heart disease and cancer are big money makers for the healthcare industry. I don't think a cure is on their agenda. So you want to build immunity. Look for signs of weak immune system. If you got frequent fatigue, if you frequently are catching colds and viruses, if you have a very mild fever, headaches, rash, joint aches, even patchy hair loss can all be indicators your immune system needs some support. Okay, so we can thank the Lord that we have alternative safe options out there using his medicinal herbs. They are an empowering example of his compassion and love for us. So, like I said, from Genesis to Revelation, you can encounter and seek God's encouragement for health and healing with the use of his herbs. So learning how to use these herbs for better health is really, really not that complicated. It's like learning how to tie your shoe, brush your teeth. You learn how to do that. And so learning what herbs to use for certain things, it'll just become like second nature. So the folks at Apothecary Herbs, they do have your professional strength, organic herbal formulas, their whole food formulas. And they also like to educate you as well. So you get info sheets on each product. And if you have questions or concerns, you can give them a call. Check it out, thepowerherbs.com. Get their free catalog. Learn how to empower yourself through natural healing methods that are safe, less expensive, and have a really great track record. Really great track record. Thepowerherbs.com is the web address. Of course, they have a toll-free number in the U.S. and Canada, 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Yes, Frank has a comment. He says, yeah, it looks like the scientists are throwing all these drug combinations up on the wall, see what sticks. That's pretty much it, Frank. You hit it on the head there. But God has a certain, order of things, and his chemistry is just perfect. So if we can just trust in the creator and his design, trust his immune system he gave us, and stop wrecking it, you know, with sugar and vaccines and antibiotics and aspirin, you know, we have more than a better chance of defeating even these really terrible pandemics that we're seeing. Okay. So, gentian root has an, Ebola anti-hemorrhagic inhibitor in it, right? Who needs a vaccine when you got that, right? Oh, I can tell. Yeah, Frank. We're out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and until next time, I wish you all to be well.